I want to continue our thoughts in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, even though we'll be looking at verses 3 through 5, because I want us to continue to keep in the context that Paul is addressing brethren. Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." What Paul is doing is he's laying the groundwork for us to appreciate the gifts that he will be talking about and revealing in beginning with verse 6. And these gifts have to do with the operation and the ministry of the church. And he has not given this ministry to everyone that is at the church. And I'm using the word "at." That is, those that are attending. Because when you read, or if you recall what we have read in this passage of Scripture, is phrases like "every man." That's a problem. God has not given every man a measure of faith. He has given brethren a measure of faith. And it's the brethren that do the overseeing and the main functioning of the church, the body, the local body. And one of the problems that I had in preparing this message is when I'm reading this passage of Scripture, I focus in on verse 5 quite a bit in my thinking, because it is a reference to the many, and this "the many," there's a definite article "the" before "many." It's a reference to a particular group of people. It's the many that have been called into his kingdom and glory. And obviously, brethren have been called unto his kingdom and glory. To be a brother, one must be interested in doing the will of the Father all the time, not just knowing about it, but practicing doing the will of the Father. And if we will do that, according to 1 John 2, we're not going to quit. Even unto the end of this age, we're not going to be offended and turn away from seeking first the kingdom. So I'm just sharing with you some overviewing thoughts here to help us to understand what he is getting ready to say. It's hard to include verses 3 through 10 in one message. We'd be skipping quite a bit, going pretty fast. So I wanted to just simply let you know that God has given the ministry to those, or to the brethren. God has given the oversight of the church to those who are living sacrifices. The Lord has given the oversight in the ministry of the church to those that are transforming themselves by the renewing of their minds. They are the ones who are proving the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And Gene reminded me of a time when we were at a roller skating outing in Chattanooga, church outing, and the fellow who brought the devotions for our skating party, the skating rink, used this passage of Scripture, and he talked about the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And he used the words G-A-P, good, acceptable, and perfect. And those who do that stand in the gap. Those that are proving what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect are interested in doing the will of God. And they are the ones who are going to be standing in the gap when things get tough. Now, in in Romans 12:3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Paul is saying that God has given me grace. I've emphasized over and over again the need of going to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace for need. Well, one of the things that I'm had to do is to make a modification in the fact that God does give grace apart from our need. And here Paul has been given grace, and this grace, again, still applies to power, might. And when you have power or might, you have authority. I just think about Charles Atlas ads. You know, they want you to work out and become Charles Atlas so that when the tough guys on the beach won't be kicking sand in your face. You're going to work out and be strong. And I don't know whether many of you may not have seen those ads. They were old. But if you got power, strength, nobody's going to be kicking sand in your face. In other words, that's the whole idea. And what Paul is saying is, God has given me grace. And this word given is passive. Paul did not go to the throne of grace to get this. God was the one who gave it to him, and he was passive in it. And he's giving it unto me and to every brother. In other words, the word every man, it's interesting sometimes the liberties that the King James takes in translating words. The Greek word in this verse, to every, is all there is in the Greek text. They added the word man because this is in the masculine gender. That's even why they put the word man in it. So he hasn't given it to every man, grace. And you'll see the reason why in just a few minutes. But he's given to every singular brother that is within you or among you. He is addressing the brethren, and he is talking about the fact that God has given you, brethren, grace for a reason, and you are passive in it. You didn't have to go to the throne of grace to get it. Okay? Now, what was that power, that authority in grace given to you for? Notice the word among you in this verse. The word you is a plural pronoun. And I believe it's in agreement with the plural brethren in verse 1. So he has given every brother that is among you, brethren, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. In other words, if you've got the grace of God and the power of the grace of God, you can do some spiritual strutting. Or you could. And Paul is saying, be careful with that. Be careful with the power of God upon you. Do not think too highly of yourself, because you are passive in getting this grace. This is not something you lathered up. This is something that God provided you because you are seeking to do the will of the Father. And so He doesn't want us to be high-minded. In fact, He wants us to think soberly. Be in self-control. When I think about power, I think about an Indy 500 race car sitting next to a Volkswagen. And the Volkswagen's racing his engine. You know, it's stoplight, you know. Want to do a drag race, or maybe one of those formula dragging machines, you know, when they have the drag races, you know. Well, the Indy car or the drag racing machine doesn't have to worry about that little Volkswagen, because he's a twerp. He's weak, and so therefore he can just creep off, and you know, and he's under control. That's the point. If you've got power, you don't have to be out of control. You need to be in control. So we need to be sober, knowing that your measure of faith was given to you by God, not something you got on your own. As according as God had dealt to every man, this is singular again, and it's the same word that we have in the early part of this verse, it's to every brother. The word man there is not mankind. In other words, that's the point I want you to get. He's not talking about God giving grace to every human being on the earth. He's given it to every man that is among you, plural, which are brethren who are seeking to do the will of God. And He has given to every brother a measure of faith. Not all faith, but a measure. In fact, it's a portion of faith. And I think of this portion of faith is we need to look at the word faith as a firm conviction. Faith gives substance to things that we're hoping for. It gives us a firm conviction that the hope of glory is real. Okay? It's not some fog. It's real. The glory of God in His coming kingdom is real. And so when we think about a measure of faith, it's a firm conviction or persuasion for confidence. This is what this faith that I believe is for. God has given you power. He's given you a measure of faith, and you can be confident. But don't be overly confident. Don't be kicking sand in others, in weaker brothers or weaker children of God's face, as the guy did on the beach. Anyway, so again, I remind ourselves that brethren are those that are seeking to do the will of the Father. Matthew chapter 12, verse 50. Some of these verses you're very well aware of, but there's nothing. It doesn't hurt to review a little bit. And so, it's a brother is one who is doing the will of the Father. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, we see why God can give grace passively, because He wants you to accomplish a purpose for Him. In other words, He has commissioned the brethren to take care of the affairs of the church, the body, local body. And He has given not only the commission to do that, to teach, and the other things that we will look at, Lord willing, next Sunday in verses 6, 7, and 8. But He has given us the authority to do it. And when you're practicing what God has purposed for you to do, you don't have to do it as a wimp. You can do it with confidence. You can do it with His authority. Why? Because you know that He passively gave us the grace and the measure of confidence. There's nothing worse than trying to follow a leader that doesn't know which way he's going. You know? When someone doesn't know where he's going, any path will get you there. That type of thing. Who wants to follow a guy like that? You don't. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, he says, "Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God." Here is Paul saying, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God. In other words, it was God's purpose for Paul to be a minister of the grace of God. A minister. And God gave him grace, and it was passive, and it's indicative. And to me, that is so neat. Paul knew that God had given him grace to be a minister. And the indicative mood means there was no doubt about it. Paul had no doubts in his mind that God had given him the authority, the power, to be a minister. A minister to whom? He gave him the power that he would preach and teach among the Gentiles. You find this in the latter part of that in verse 8. But let me just read this. "Unto me, by the effectual working of His power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given." Passive indicative. No doubt about it in Paul's mind. And we need to have no doubts about Paul or God giving us grace to do what He has purposed for you to do. "That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." And that was the purpose that God had for Paul. And He gave him the wherewithal to do that. Now, that did not give him the wherewithal to be able to take all the things that happened to him while he was doing this, because there were some things that happened to him. And there's a big long list in Corinth about how he suffered this, and he was in perils, and he, you know, countrymen, and on and on and on. And you know what? He needed additional grace for that. And he had to get that. That grace did not come because of the purpose of God in his life. I want you to see, I hope you see that distinction. Okay? Romans 12:6 says, "The purpose of God in the body, He gave, having then gifts or functions differing according to the grace that is given." Passive. That's also in the passive voice. "To us, plural, brethren, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith," portion of confidence, not some kind of way out stuff, "but you have studied and prepared and you believe certain things are true and you share them with a portion of confidence." That's what he's saying here. That's God's purpose in the body for those that of God has purposed to minister to the body, local body. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, we are exhorted to come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. That's active. That's subjunctive. We may not obtain mercy because we haven't been mercy merciful. Okay, let's go on. And find grace to help in time of need. And the word find is also active, subjunctive. May find grace to help in time of our need. God gave us grace according to His need of accomplishing certain things. And that's the reason why we were passive in receiving that power. Here is, we are seeking grace when we are weak, suffering, and being tested. That's when we need additional strength. The power to continue ministering to the body never leaves, I don't think. I mean, I guess it could if you forsake seeking first the kingdom. That's not the issue of this message right now. The issue is this. God's given you what you need to accomplish your part in the body. And there are times when you would need additional grace, and you get it at the throne of grace, when you're struggling. Paul went to the third heaven, and the Lord allowed a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Well, you know what? He needed some grace to continue on, even though he was buffeted by a messenger of Satan. And the Lord's grace was sufficient for that. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The infirmities, the weaknesses that we have. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, but unto every one of us, that is, those that are chosen in Christ, is given passive indicative. Okay? We're passive in this. No doubt about Him giving it to us. Grace according to the measure of the gift from Christ. This is not a need. This is a gift. When we get gifts or we receive gifts, there may be times when they are needful, but they're not. You don't usually think of that. You think of a gift as something a little extra, you know, something you can enjoy. And I believe this gift here, I'll just share with you my thinking on that. This gift has to do with the capacity of ruling and reigning, that gift. In other words, if you're going to be on the right hand or on the left hand of the Lord, you're going to need a whole lot of grace for that. Okay? Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, we find, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given passive voice, us, in Christ, before the world began. So I want you to see, and I think you have already have grasped the idea, that grace is given for His purpose. Now, this grace is evident to others. Others can see this. The time when you're suffering and you have grace, people may not even know that you're struggling over anything, and yet you have peace. These are times when grace is not evident. But there is a time when grace is perceptible. And we'll see that in Galatians 2:9. When James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given, passive, unto me. They gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the Gentiles and they unto the circumcision. Notice, they can tell that Paul and Barnabas were confident in what God has called them to do. They can see that. When you are when God has commissioned you to perform a certain function in the family or in the family, people are going to know that. And when they need to talk to somebody who has the gift of giving, they'll know who to go to, because it will be evident, if you understand what I'm saying. Not that I'm promoting that gift above others, but if you have the gift of teaching, people are going to come to you and say, well, what does this mean? Can you help me with this verse? You see what I mean? I think that's a better application of it, okay? Now, in Romans chapter 15, in verse 15, we see the boldness because of grace. Nevertheless, I, brethren, have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. Paul, or the church at Rome, knew the authority that was given to Paul, and he could write some stuff that others couldn't write. Because he had the grace that was given to him. He had the authority. And he chewed out people, like at the church at Corinth. Now, I don't have any right to chew out anybody anywhere. But, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Paul had that authority. He had that grace. And yet, when we have this confidence that God has given us what we need to perform His purpose, there needs to be some humility on our part. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. In other words, don't think too highly of yourself. That's the point I'm trying to share in this. And even in Romans 12:16, it says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own personal initiatives. Conceit. I think about being conceited. This is has to do with your personal initiatives. In other words, use the gift that God has given you wisely. And if we will, the body will be blessed. Okay? Now, in Romans 12:4, it says, for as ye have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. And the word here, we have, it's plural, so he's talking to brethren. It's in harmony with verse 1. Many members. And I look at it this way, I think of members as fingers and arms and legs, but we have many individuals in the body, okay? In one body, and all members or all individuals have not the same function. In other words, if you've been given a gift of administration and not the gift of teaching, it'd be better for you not to try to teach on a long-term basis, or formally type thing. That's not your ministry. I don't want to ever say that you're not able to, or you're not supposed to ever be able to teach, because you are. In other words, sir, you've been feeding on milk, and you've been on milk long enough, you ought to be a teacher. So I do believe that there comes a time, or that you can teach somebody something that's precious to you. But when it comes to edifying the body of Christ, we don't all have the same function in the family. And the office is also translated function, and it has to do with the body. Now, many members make one body. 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one and hath many members, or individuals, and all of the individuals are of that one body, being many, or one body, so also in Christ. And we're placed in this body according to God's plan, according as He pleases. in 1 Corinthians 12:18. But now hath God set, and the word here is in the middle voice, and that means for Himself. In other words, He put us where we are because He wants to. The members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And then, I included 1 Corinthians 12:26, where it says, "And where one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Where one member be honored, all the members are honored." That's not what it says. Some members are honored more than others. And if you are honored, in other words, a teaching elder is one who has to have honor. And what it says here, when one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. In other words, there are vessels of honor and there's vessels of dishonor out of the same lump. And if you're made a vessel of honor, everybody needs to rejoice in that. Not be jealous. Not be envious. Okay? Now, verse 5 of Romans 12. "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." And this verse of Scripture means a lot to me because it deals with the phrase "the many." And I associate "the many" with the brethren, those that have been called into His kingdom and glory. It's a particular many. And it says that we are one body in Christ. There are many members, and in every one a member of another. In other words, there's a body in Christ called the many, and that's the body that will be called out. Okay? So we, that's the many, that's the brethren, plural. And the word "we" comes from the first person plural of the verb "are." Okay? Or one. Body. And that word "one" is an adjective describing the body in Christ. There's a body in Christ, and it's the many. It's not everybody. It's a particular body in Christ, and it's the many, and it has to do with the brethren, those that are seeking to do the will of the Father. Yet we are all one, or individually, members one of another. In other words, we're all in this together, and God put the brethren in the church to minister to everybody. And yet there is a unique body in the body of Christ, and that's the many. And of course, I put in here the verses where many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are called out. 1 Thessalonians 2:12 tells us what we're called to. We're called unto His kingdom and glory. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 and 8, it says, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Unique members. "And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, and thirdly teachers." Now these fellows that God has put in the church are brethren. These people are seeking to do the will of the Father. This is not a Bible teacher that has no desire to seek the kingdom. That's not what these fellows are. These functions in the body are for those that are called into His kingdom in glory and that are seeking to do the will of the Father. And that's why He can say that they are members in particular, special. And what are these members, what are these brethren or brothers to do? Well, Ephesians chapter 4, and with this we'll close verses 11 and 12. "And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Evangelists we think of as people who are going out and evangelizing, but evangelists are exhorters. Evangelists are those who are saying, they're the cheerleaders. And the Lord hadn't given us pom-poms. But He has given us cheerleaders to encourage us on in our walk with the Lord. And He's given some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of whom? The saints. Perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. And that's what we're talking about. That's what Paul is presenting in this passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 12. He is preparing us for the list of functions that we can do as brethren in the body of Christ. And to be able to do them properly, we have to be living sacrifices, and we need to be changing our lives constantly and practicing what? Doing the will of the Father. Father, I just pray that You help us to appreciate the blessings that You have blessed us with. You've given us everything that we need to do what You want us to do. And then when the troubles come, You've given us additional grace that we can get at the throne of grace. And so, Lord, we do thank You that You're providing everything that we need to perform in the body and to continue to be faithful even though we are being tested and tried with weakness, suffering, whatever the case may be. Bless the message to each of our hearts, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.